Thank you to Debbie and to Ali for their readings. So this is talk two in our series on Created in the Image. Today we're thinking about the image of God. We've heard those two passages read, but we'll be jumping around to other parts of the Bible as well today. All the verses will be on the screen, which will help you. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise you and thank you, for you are our creator, you've given us life. Father, we do pray you'd help us to understand what it means to be created in your image. And we pray this, Father, so that we might live it out and live in a way that is pleasing to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin by thinking about self-image. In 2018, the Butterfly Foundation, had anyone heard of the Butterfly Foundation? Yeah, a few. Conducted a national survey on self-image, and here are the key findings, or here were the key findings. Over 40% of people are dissatisfied with their appearance. An overwhelming 73% of people wish they could change the way they look. 67% of people remember being bullied or teased for their appearance at some stage in their life. 41.5% of people most of the time or always compare themselves to others on social media. And 53.6% of people rarely or never speak positively about their appearance. The CEO of the Butterfly Foundation, her name was, I see she's no longer the CEO there, but Christine Morgan back then said of this, "These survey results are just the start in supporting us to better understand what contributes to the high rates of body dissatisfaction in this country and how we can promote positive body image among Australians." So you can see, just picking up from this, how self-image is closely related to body image, at least in our community, in our day and age. This lady, Christine, continues, "When poor body self-esteem impacts on an individual's self-worth and value system, it can cripple their ability to fully participate in life. Shifting national conversation about body image is a huge undertaking that requires investment in stigma reduction and health promotion, but if we acknowledge the complexity of the problem and each play our part as individuals, it is more than achievable." So self-image, body image, self-esteem, self-worth, they're all very closely related, aren't they? Now today we are considering the truth that we are created in the image of God. And as we shall see, this truth has important implications for our self-image. And more than that, it has important implications for our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship towards nature or the creation. So let's look at what the Bible says, a bit of an overview. We are created in the image of God. The foundational passage is the one we've all memorized, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Now, the first thing to say is that image and likeness basically mean the same thing. They're interchangeable. Are used interchangeably in the rest of the Bible. An image is like a carving. You know, if someone carves an idol, for example, it's an image of something, a representation. So, for example, there's an image of an ancient king. Ancient kings would place images of themselves throughout their kingdom to remind the people who was ruling. That's image, representation. Likeness is more straightforward. It simply means to be like. We are a representation of God, like God. The question is, in what sense? Sorry, ignore that for now. I'll go back. You can keep looking at the image. In what sense are we a representation or like God? Historically, there have been many answers to this question. You can basically put these many answers into two categories, either structural or functional. Structural refers to who we are in our body or our mind, our spirit, our consciousness, our ability to relate socially to God and to one another. Structural. Functional refers to what we do, for example, to exercise dominion, to rule over creation. More recently in the debate, Reformed theologians have taken a more holistic view, you know, picked up all of those things rather than being reductionistic. They've actually said, no, it's all those things. We are a representation, we are like God, firstly, in our relationship towards creation. So we read, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and so on. So we exercise dominion over creation. In this sense, we are like God. We represent him in his rule over creation. And of course, we are to do this responsibly. We heard this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Careful work of it, not abuse, destruction. Okay, so in our relationship towards creation, two, in our image and likeness to God is seen in that we are relational social beings. We see it there, back to Genesis. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. You might remember from last week that the us here, let us make mankind, hints at God as Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship for all eternity. God is a relational being within himself. And we are relational social beings. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Man is not in God's image alone, neither is woman alone. They are in the image of God together, relationally. More on this next week for Mother's Day. Thirdly, to be created in the image of God is to be created to enjoy a special relationship with our Creator. Okay, so relationship towards creation, relationship with one another, and relationship towards the Creator. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God speaks directly to man and woman. There is a relationship. And we know that in the beginning, that relationship was intimate. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The relationship included communication, clear commands, And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So generosity with limits for our own good. Genesis 1:31 ends with these words. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. A theologian by the name of Bavinck puts it better than I can. Here's a quote. The entire world is a revelation of God, a mirror of his virtues and perfections. Every creature in his own way and according to his own measure, an embodiment of a divine thought. But among all creatures, only man is the image of God, the highest and richest revelation of God, and therefore head and crown of the entire creation. It's a great quote, isn't it? That is who we are, created in the image of God. Now, we know what happened in Genesis chapter 3. More on that in a few weeks' time. Some say that the fall means we are no longer in God's image, but that is not the case. The image remains post-fall. So when we get to Genesis 5, this is Genesis 5, 1 to 3. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and named him Seth. It's an interesting verse. Likeness and image continue, but notice the likeness and image is now of Adam. That is fallen man. So in other words, the image remains, but it's marred by sin. Our relationship towards creation is corrupted. Our work is toil. Creation frustrates us with weeds and thistles, natural disasters, disease and virus, and so on. And we don't care for creation as we should. We abuse it for our greed. We cause environmental disaster. Our relationships towards each other are broken. There's a great deal of conflict, including conflict between man and woman. We experience conflict at a personal level. We experience conflict at a political and geopolitical level. And Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 speaks to the violence that is in our world. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. Even post-flood, the image remains. But clearly it is marred, it is corrupted by sin. And of course, sin means our relationship with God is broken. That intimacy that was enjoyed in the garden, the blessing is replaced by curse. Adam and Eve were driven from the garden, and death has entered the world. They have lost access to the tree of life. We have lost access to the tree of life. And we can't be in the presence of God and enjoy life with him forever without the intervention of his grace in Christ. You still with me? A bit of content here. Next point, Jesus is the true image of God. Colossians 1:15, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Notice that it doesn't say the Son is created in the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. He is not created. He is our creator. The fact that he is the image means that if you want to know what it means to be in the image of God, then you've got to look at Jesus, the image. Hebrews 1:3, we heard read, says the same thing. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The exact representation of his being gets us to think of a old vintage stamp. When you dip it in the ink and you stamp it on the piece of paper, if you stamp it correctly, what do you get? The exact representation of the stamp. The image on the paper should perfectly reflect the cut of the stamp. That is what the Son is to the Father. The exact representation of his being. That's why Jesus says in John's Gospel, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus, the man, the Son of God in flesh, the incarnation, is the perfect image of the Father. And what do we see? As the image, he rules over creation perfectly. He stills storms. He heals the sick and diseased. He drives out demons. He exercises dominion over creation perfectly. He loves. He shows what it means to be a relational being, a social being. He loves perfectly by serving. And he loves his Father. His relationship towards God is marked by perfect obedience. This is what it means to be the image of God. And because of his grace, because of his love of the Father, love of us, he redeemed us and he is restoring and renewing us into his image. In Christ, we are being renewed into the image. Yes, the fall marred the image, but God is restoring us into his image, the image of his Son. Colossians 3, verses 9 to 10, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. I'm not going to say a great deal about this today because we'll devote a whole talk to it later in this series. It's such a wonderful thing that we are being renewed into the image of our Creator. So there is a brief sketch of the image of God in Scriptures and what it means for us to be created in God's image, fallen and restored. And I hope that I've made clear the three aspects: our relationship towards creation, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with God, with Jesus, the true man, as the centerpiece. He is the one we are to model. God is renewing us into his likeness. And so to the application for today. The first point of application would be that we should be filled with praise and wonder. When was the last time that you were away from the city and looked up into the night sky and it was black as black without the city lights and the stars were magnificent? You'd forgotten how many stars are up there and you've forgotten just how beautiful it is, how awesome it is, truly awesome. It gets you thinking. And it can make you feel very small, very insignificant. Well, in Psalm 8, King David has one of those moments. But rather than feeling small, he reflects on the fact that he is created in the image of God and he thinks, wow. And he praises God. Let me read it. It's worth reading. It's only 9 verses. Psalm 8, Psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We are not insignificant. We are created in the image of God. That means every single individual has dignity and worth. This is the Judeo-Christian perspective. It forms the basis of politics in the West. Sadly, less and less so. Government, law, justice, human rights, including the rights of the unborn. This is why Christians are pro-life. The rights of those at the end of life. This is why Christians oppose active euthanasia. The dignity and worth of the disabled, physically and mentally. Historically, the Christian church, Christian charity, has led the way in caring for the most vulnerable. Each individual is created in the image of God to love and be loved, to work and to live. In James 3, we are challenged about the use of our tongue. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Who do I curse? Who do I speak unkindly about? Who do I hate? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. God willing, there is no one, but maybe it's that person with those views that you can't stand, that person who believes what you can't stand, who does what you would never do. We need to remember the person, that person, those people are created in the image of God. They have dignity and worth. And so we love God, our neighbor, and the created order. The positive to don't curse that person or those people is love. Remember Jesus, the perfect man, the image of God. He loved perfectly. He loved his neighbor perfectly. He ruled over the created order perfectly. Not that we will do all these things perfectly, but by God's grace, we are being renewed into his image and likeness. We ought to think of image and likeness then as a verb. Something that is active, something we do, something that we are growing in. When we love our neighbor, even our enemy, we are imaging our Lord Jesus. When we love our Heavenly Father, obeying him even when it is personally costly, we are mirroring our Lord Jesus. When we work And in particular, when we give ourselves to the work of the Lord, gospel work, we are sharing in his reign, the advancement of the kingdom. There's nothing more worthwhile and lasting than that. And now the final point of application, just a couple more minutes, takes us back to where I began, and that was with the issue of self-image. As I showed you in the introduction, in our world, self-image is often correlated with body image. Self-esteem and self-worth then flow. But we are more than our bodies. Yes, our bodies are important. The whole self is created in God's image, in God's likeness. But as we've seen, we are more than our bodies. The starting place for Christians ought to be self-image. That is, I am a person created in the image of God. Yes, that image is marred because of sin. And because of this, I might have too low a view of myself or too high a view of myself. However, as Christians, God is renewing us into the likeness of his Son. By his grace, we are justified, sanctified, glorified even. I am being renewed into the image of my Creator. That truth gives me a healthy, primarily positive self-image. Not too high, not too low. The flow on is a healthy self-esteem and self-worth that enables me to love God and my neighbor, to not be caught up in myself, but to serve the other, to find positive meaning and purpose in my work and ministry. Not that we will all have perfect self-image, self-esteem, and self-worth. We will all struggle, some more than others, whilst we continue to deal with the effects of the fall. But God willing, we will be all moving in the right direction, growing with an honest assessment of ourselves and a focus on God and others and doing good in and for our world. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." Humility is the key. Philippians 2, 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves." In doing this, we are following the example of Jesus. We are being transformed into his image and likeness, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Singing.